the moving finger writes, and having writ moves on, nor all thy piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. So said Omar Khayyam, rather a long time ago. I must say that the more I think about sailing and sport in general, the more right I believe he was. We can train and kit ourselves out. We can form strong views on the best way to achieve modestly difficult ends and spend our substance proving we aren't wrong. Yet fate is always poised to deal us a backhander. Spare a thought for Jenson Button at this year's Monaco Grand Prix. This excellent young Englishman had worked himself into P3 with not much of the race remaining. Of the two chaps ahead of him, one had to make a further pit stop and the other's tyres were so shot that it could only be a few laps before his car became uncompetitive. So there sat Jenson, patiently waiting his moment at 180 miles an hour, when his teammate, several places back, piled into a luckless tail-ender. The race was hauled to a standstill while the wreckage was cleared. Cars 1 and 2 cashed in on the hiatus to sort out their problems, and instead of the great sporting climax previously on offer, the fans were obliged to witness yet another boring Grand Prix procession, with Jenson in third place. Cruising's like that. For 15 years I owned a venerable cutter called Herta. She may have been antique, but she remained a supremely capable seaboat. Old hands from the west of Scotland will have already noted the name and recognised that she must have had something to do with Herta, the main island in the St Kilda group. Indeed she had. Built in 1911 as the Barry pilot boat Cornubia, she left the service to become a yacht and was soon owned by the Earl of Dumfries, who in the 1930s also owned the island. He used the renamed boat to visit this remotest of outposts, 40 miles to windward of the Outer Hebrides, and wild times he must have had of it. In due course he passed the cutter and the islands on, so that in the 1950s she came into a distinguished Scottish yachting family. They kept up the tradition, and to this day they have a fine painting of the boat rollicking into Village Bay, the only viable anchorage in the archipelago. There is no other harbour, and the place is prey to big ocean swells as well as being wide open to the east. In those days, there'd have been no backup should a yacht get into trouble, so a visit to St Kilda was not to be undertaken lightly. Nor is it today, although with VHF radio and modern weather forecasting, the edge has surely been knocked off the danger. Burning with zeal to maintain the institution, I sailed Herta from the Solent to Loch Maddy in North Uist, the jumping-off point for St Kilda. I did this twice, and on both occasions I ended up hanging on two anchors with time running out while gale after rain-swept gale lashed my efforts into submission. Thus, I have never been to St Kilda. The boat and I have parted ways, and the ambition seems likely to remain unfulfilled. Last week I met a man who had chartered a modern lightweight yacht from Oban. Having decent weather and being in Uist, he'd decided to have a go for St Kilda, about which he knew little. When I asked how he'd got on, he replied, "St Kilda, piece of cake!" He'd had light southerlies, made a fine trip of it, stayed a day and sailed back in good order. So much for my history, my preparation, and my dreams. At sea, we must hope for the best, but be prepared to accept the worst that is sometimes sent by forces beyond our control. If the weather blows your summer plans to pieces this year, don't feel too bad about it. As the Persian seer and Jenson Button remind us, the moving finger writes.